Hello, everyone, and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr., host of Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr., as we are getting ready to hear a little bit more of the discussion we've been having about artificial intelligence and souls. They want to take our minds there. The whole notion of artificial intelligence receiving souls. And they say that basically what it'll come down to is we should look at this as souling rather than having a soul. I'm going to let Dr. Lonnie Liston-Smith kind of get us in the mood for the discussion, since they want to expand our minds, get us thinking on a different plane about souls and who and what can have them. Lonnie Liston-Smith's Expansions, helping us think about it. You know, in this song, Lonnie Liston-Smith is not encouraging us to accept the idea of artificial intelligence receiving souls. He's actually singing about the whole need that we have to have peace on earth. And he's encouraging us to expand our minds for the purpose of extending love to all mankind on earth. So why am I playing this song? The music can kind of take us to the place where I think, well, not take us to the place, but help us kind of get in the frame of mind of thinking like those who are pushing the notion of artificial intelligence and souls, you know, kind of help us think about that. But I got to tell you, I do think the music is pretty cool. All right, so we will hear some more of the music, but for now, what are the people saying, courtesy of BBC, about artificial intelligence and souls? This isn't BBC saying we should go this route. Brandon Ambrosino is someone who has written about this, and we've been talking about this for several weeks, so let's pick up where we left off last time. We've been talking about this whole notion of reprogramming a Christian Siri to be a Muslim Siri off limits. Can we do that? They're saying a souling treatment. Again, remember now, they're really trying to get us to look at soul very, very differently. For ages, we've looked at the soul as being a noun, as I've said before, the soul being the immaterial part of creatures, especially humans, by which we humans are able to connect with God, among other things. That soul is that immaterial part of us that for ages we have taught and been taught that when we die, that soul either goes to heaven or it goes to hell. Of course, some would teach that that soul would come back in a different body, and the person who died, if they were not able to be received into heaven by God, then they would come back as another creature and have another chance to do it again. Try it again. Try to live life the way God intended so that we make some significant improvements. And we got to remember how we lived in the previous life so that we can improve upon it in this life, and hopefully live better this time around, that in the next life that comes after this one, we live even better than we will be living in this one, than we will have lived in this one. And we can just keep that process going until we get closer and closer and closer to the point where we're almost there. And then finally, in some life in the future, we live a life good enough that God will say, now you're ready. Now I'll receive you into my heaven. Of course, that's called reincarnation. Either way, there is talk of a soul that has to be reckoned with. A soul that has to pay consequences of a failed life, or a soul that receives reward of a life well lived in God's sight. Whether we're talking about a soul that only has one opportunity to get it right, or a soul that has many opportunities to get it right, we're talking about the soul as a noun, as an immaterial part of the human being. But now that we're getting closer and closer to the day when artificial intelligence developers, human developers of artificial intelligence, will get it to the point where singularity has arrived, get us to the point where singularity will have arrived, where the artificial intelligence that may be found in hubots, humanoids, will be actually smarter than humans, will be able to outthink us, outmaneuver us. And along the way, they're working to get us humans to think about hubots, humanoids, artificial intelligence, as being on the same level of us as we are in every way. And since they have probably concluded that they will not be able to convince us that these hubots, humanoids, will have been created with souls, an immaterial part of them already inside that which looks like a human body, they're flipping the script on us. And they're trying to get us to look at soul as being a verb rather than as a noun, so that instead of seeing soul as an immaterial part of us that we are created with, born with, they're shifting towards having the word soul used as a verb. And they talk about it being something that we do, such as desiring and having goals, etc. And when they put it on that plane, then they can say and are saying, will we get to a point where artificial intelligence will have desires, will have goals, will strive to reach those goals, will strive to fulfill their goals, their desires, and fulfill their dreams. And they call that souling. And they're saying that we humans soul the same way artificial intelligence will soul. And so now they're putting us all on the same playing field, making it seem as though we're equal. So keep that in mind as we continue these discussions. And you have to decide, do you buy that or do you reject that? So they're looking at ways that maybe souling treatment would presumably mean interacting with artificial intelligence in religious ways, which raises all sorts of questions about proselytizing. Would we humans be able to manipulate artificial intelligence via its programming or its various environments to incline it toward certain religious propensities? Are there limits to evangelizing artificial intelligence? Is reprogramming a Christian Siri to be a Muslim Siri off limits? What happens to artificial intelligence that refuses to cooperate with the religious fundamentalism of its designer? Is it simply turned off? At that point, will the fundamentalist have killed a souling being? Notice how they did not ask the question, will the fundamentalist have killed a soul? Will the fundamentalist have killed a living being? They're using the verb form, souling being. Rhetorical question, and it seems like they want us to answer yes, that fundamentalist would have killed a souling being. What do you think? Here's something else that they propose. Maybe the education will go the other way. Perhaps artificial intelligence will invite us to reshape or replace our religious ideas in favor of their own. Notice how the wording goes. Very often, the word proselytizing is used as a net with a negative connotation. If you proselytize someone, what you're doing is really offensive. You should really mind your own business. You're almost trying to force them to see things your way. Now, that's not necessarily what the word proselytize means, but very often that is the connotation that is attached to the word when we say proselytizing. Listen to this. Again, souling treatment would presumably mean interacting with artificial intelligence in religious ways, which raises all sorts of questions about proselytizing. Now, if you don't think that they're trying to frame that negatively, listen to the next thing I said. They asked the question, will we be able to manipulate artificial intelligence through its programming or its various environments to incline it toward certain religious propensities? Now, so they use the words proselytizing and manipulating when it comes to the possibility of humans impacting artificial intelligence. But when it comes to the possibility of artificial intelligence impacting humans, they use the word invite, which is always carrying with it a positive connotation. You frame it that way, and this is something that is non-threatening, that is something that really should be welcomed. At least we should consider welcoming it, because after all, they're simply inviting us. They're simply extending an invitation. That's something that people do when they're trying to be warm and friendly. So if humans impact artificial intelligence, we'll be proselytizing and manipulating. But if the artificial intelligence impacts us for religious reasons, they'll simply be inviting us. Perhaps artificial intelligence will invite us to reshape or replace our religious ideas in favor of their own. Say at some point in the future, artificial intelligence claims to have experienced a special revelation from God. How will religious people respond to that? Catherine A. Johnson at the Department of Psychology at Arizona State University said that she'd go out on a limb to speculate that just as the capacity for emotion is an important factor, belief in an internal essence, spirit, or soul will also be important in understanding attitudes toward artificial intelligence. She pointed to a 2011 study that she and several colleagues conducted, where they found an association between belief in a soul and judgments people make about the moral standing of other people. Specifically, the research considered whether Protestants were more likely than Catholics to offer internal explanations for behavior. Their findings led them to believe they were. And this is what Johnson says. People with a strong belief in a soul seem to think of others as having an internal essence that makes them the kind of moral or immoral, good or bad person that they are. While this research doesn't address attitudes about artificial intelligence, Johnson thinks it might be relevant. If people don't think of artificial intelligence as having a soul, and notice she's using soul as a noun here, If people don't think of artificial intelligence as having a soul, they may deny artificial intelligence beings any moral rights or responsibilities. On the other hand, people with a strong belief in a soul may be the most likely to attribute souls to AI as well, and consequently be the most likely to advocate for AI personhood. You know, one of the things that is debated is whether or not people at the moment of conception have personhood. Are they actually persons at the moment of conception? Very, very, very young inside the mother's uterus, inside the mother's womb. Are they actually persons? Do they have personhood? Some people say absolutely yes. Others say absolutely no. And this is a debate, particularly in the world of, not only in religion, but in the world of ethics. Are they at that age? Can we truly say they have personality? Can we truly say that they have an awareness of their existence? Do they have personhood? And I mention that because I want you to realize that the question may not be as cut and dry as you might think when it comes to this whole notion of whether or not artificial intelligence will be said to have personhood. Because my guess is, the same way we have a debate, a heated debate going, as to whether or not very, very young fetuses have personhood, we'll more than likely have a very heated debate as to whether or not artificial intelligence has personhood. Now, they say that this is what Katherine Johnson means by that. Our treatment of artificial intelligence may have something to do with whether or not we come to attribute the intelligence, emotional capacity, and behaviors of artificial intelligence to some kind of internal essence. She would say a soul. The writer says soul function, in his keeping with trying to make soul a verb instead of a noun. He says that Siri may have had it right all along. Siri was asked the question, Siri, do you have a soul? Siri's response, that's up to you to decide. What do you think, ladies and gentlemen? Will artificial intelligence ever have a soul? Will artificial intelligence do the job of souling? How will that muddy the waters when we start talking about quality of existence when compared between artificial intelligence and humans? How do we decide who is truly superior?